is Kitty Kurth with Girl Pundits. I'm a communicator, a social justice warrior, and somebody who's done just about everything in political campaigns that you can imagine. I also work on behalf of human rights issues, environmental issues, labor, and in the course of my career, I've met a lot of really smart women. I've also met a lot of pundits who tend to be old white men who think they have the monopoly on ideas. And I think there's a lot of smart women who have just as good of ideas, if not better, than the usual pundits. So I started the show Girl Pundits to showcase smart women talking to one another and listening to one another. The guys are welcome to listen if they want. Joining me today on our inaugural broadcast is one of the smartest women I know, I've known for a couple of years, and who I thought if I could pick anyone to be my guest, who would it be? It would be Sylvia Ewing.
Thank you. And I hear this couple of years, a couple of decades. I own it. Yeah, it's delightful to be here. And I'm glad that you're doing this.
Tell me a little bit about who you are, Sylvia, before we start off.
Well, I used to laugh and say I'm a recovering journalist. But when so many of my former colleagues got laid off, it wasn't funny anymore. But I spent time in broadcast with public radio, television, internet, print, and I've spent time helping people tell their stories on both sides of the microphone as a communication strategist or as a journalist. Those days are behind me. I do productions and events, and I'm at a stage in life where I pick the things that I want to work on, and you are one of them. I'm glad to be here. By day, I am a director of communications and strategy for a nonprofit, but I love keeping my hands in the game and doing media literacy.
Well, talking about stories and telling stories, there were some interesting stories that I've heard all week. We're recording this about a week after the midterm elections, and every day the stories just get better and better, more interesting, more convoluted. But I think we've got a lot to talk about. And I wanted to start a little bit by talking about the midterms and talking about some of the ways that things are going to change in Washington. We're going to have more women than we've ever had. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Muslim women covered and uncovered. We're going to have my personal favorite, two Native Americans. Can I just say that it is unbelievable to me that in the history of our country, we have never had a Native American representing us in Congress. It's just unbelievable to me.
Well, it's the best of times and the worst of times, because we have this new cohort, a new team of folks that are coming to elected office with agendas because they're mad, they're fed up, and people wanted to try something new. But we also have a president who was very emboldened by the election results. Of course, we know he sees things the way he wants to see them.
He's emboldened by pretty much anything.
Right, you know, and crawls across the floor. But I think that we do have both. Good opportunity with fresh voices. I think those fresh voices are going to be a challenge for Nancy Pelosi. That was one of the things that popped out for me first. And by the way, cheers. I came because you gave me adult beverages.
Yeah, this is not your usual podcast. We have snacks. We have adult beverages. I won't ever ask anybody to talk about anything without snacks and beverages, because when you're hangry, it just gets bad.
That's
which
right.
Might be part of Donald Trump's issues. I don't think he's very well fed. I think he eats a lot of junk food. He doesn't have a lot of nutrients. And I think, honestly, it makes him hangry. I really do.
Well, there's a lot that we could say in analysis of him. But the scary part is he has so many challenges, and yet he's the boss of us, as the kids would say.
Well, this is what scares the bejesus out of me. I want to get back to Trump and why he's so scary and things that he's been doing, but I want to circle back first to some of these new people that are going to be elected. One of the Native Americans is also a mixed martial arts fighter, which I just adore, because if anybody gets snotty with her in Washington, she can totally kick their ass, legit kick their ass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she would be probably within her bounds.
Don't condone it, but go ahead.
All right. Well,
we already have one cray-cray at the helm.
Yes,
so,
but at least a mixed martial artist is trained, a professional. You know, she knows what she's doing. There's also an extraordinary number of veterans. Mm-hmm. And although the Republicans like to think that they've got the franchise on the military, most of those veterans who were elected are Democrats. And if you talk to a lot of young veterans, they're increasingly voting Democratic. And here's why. Getting back to Trump. What did we hear Trump saying and see Trump doing? This is what just is remarkable to me as a communicator, that his messaging is so off and so tone deaf. Last week, a couple of weeks ago, he talked about sending troops down to the border, spending $220 million on it, which we spend about $14 million on North Korea, and we were going to spend $220 million on our southern border, a border between us and one of our closest allies. It was a little odd to me.
So that's the military thought? Well,
yeah, there's more, but go ahead.
Well, finish your thought.
No, I've got so much.
Well, let me just say this. The borders made me think of a Chicagoan named Juan Salgado. He's the head of the city colleges, and I've always admired the way he thinks. And he said that we are so incredibly lucky to have borders with people who are not here to attack us, that we have friendly borders on both sides. And that's something that we forget very often. We're drumming up these tempests in a teapot and blaming immigration on so many issues. But I worry that we're going to grow a new generation of jihadists because of the incredibly horrible things that this president has done to young people and their families.
That's exactly right. And people who are mad at this country from every country because Trump is so bad. He's so bad about people trying to escape Ecuador and Guatemala and Honduras who are, you know, literally running for their lives, and he doesn't want to take them in. He has made an enemy and an adversary out of Canada. How can anybody get Canada mad at us?
Well,
that's just like unbelievable. Plus, Justin Trudeau is setting such a great example in the whole world leadership sphere, and Trump could gain so much from being his ally and could learn so much from him. It's shocking to me.
But Kitty, why did people vote for him? I think that's a question. We see, as pundits and people who feel that we're informed, we see the devil in front of us. But he is a master propagandist. And he has taken this election as an open door to say, I can do what I want when I want, because my life is a continual rally. And my rallies get me what I want. He doesn't govern, he campaigns.
It's worse than that. Mm-hmm. For those of us who study language and who study communications, many people smarter than me have written about and talked about the fact that he takes his communication style straight from the Third Reich.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, thank God he hasn't found his Leni Riefenstahl, or we would all be in bigger trouble than we are now. But
that was the artist who made all of the films that...
Who made all of Hitler's films, who helped Hitler spread the propaganda and convince the German people to do things they never wanted to do. But Trump, why do people vote for him? I actually had a great conversation in Sweden with one of the leaders in the Sweden Democratic Party, which is the neo-Nazi party mm-hmm. in Sweden. And she seemed like a reasonable woman. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I can have a conversation with her easier than I can with some of my American friends. Let's work our way around this. And she was she's part of this neo-Nazi populist Sweden First Party, but she is an immigrant from Poland whose parents are Jewish. But she's part of this neo-Nazi party. And I was like, whoa, you have to tell me more about this. Like, why why are you part of their party? And she had gotten pulled into the party by her father, who had emigrated to Sweden and wanted it to be his dream of what he thought Sweden was like or had been like. So the dad had this vision of Sweden 50 years ago in his brain and instilled it in his daughter, and they didn't want to be part of the new Sweden. They didn't want to be part of today's Sweden. They wanted to be part of this old idea of Sweden. And I think a lot of Trump's supporters want to be part of this old idea of the U.S. They have romanticized the 1950s, mm-hmm. and they think that was, A, they think that was good, and B, they think that's where they want to go.
Well, there are so many, we could do like three shows talking about that, but I agree with much of what you say. I think that he has taken us from dog whistles, you know, the hidden codes, wink, wink, to straight up say what you
straight
feel.
Straight up racism.
And it's very dangerous.
The woman who's running for Senate in Mississippi, what she said about the public hanging, I literally, and I've hung around a lot of racist white people in my time.
Why, but Kitty, why?
I grew up with them. I've run away from them, but I've grown up with them. But I have literally never heard anybody say that in real life.
Well, see,
I've only heard somebody say that, like, in the movies or in a book. I have literally never heard anybody say that in real life.
He's lowered the bar, and we see it on race, but he's lowered the bar in every way, including that scandalous interview that he did when he was standing next to Putin. You know,
The Finland interview.
You know, we've got to really think through what kind of country do we want to be? What will it take to wake people up? I'm not sure, but we are on a very slippery slope to an authoritarian regime.
Sylvia, that is the $64 million question. What will it take? Every day, every week, I see something in the media that I think this has got to be the last straw. People can't stand this. And I remember when I talked to my parents about Hitler. My parents were both born in the 20s and were in their 20s in the 40s. My father fought in World War II. And I would talk to them and I would say, you know, okay, it was in Europe, you were here, but how could you let this happen? How could the world let this happen? And it's the old story about the frog, you know, the frog in the boiling water. If the frog's in the water when it's cold and you turn it up and it gradually heats up, the frog doesn't realize he's getting boiled. And I feel like we are the frogs.
Well, and I did hear a commentator say the day before election that he was someone who studied the Civil War and civil wars throughout time. And he said this could happen again. And he saw the election as a bellwether. And unfortunately, the president that I saw after the election is somebody that could lead to lots of destruction. But what about the happy news of J.B. Pritzker?
In that
his speech was so uplifting. Whatever else, you know, I thought his speech was what people needed to hear.
I completely agree. And more than that, I've known J.B. Pritzker for almost as long as I've known you, a couple of years less. But I first worked with J.B. Pritzker because he was building a group called DL21C, which was a group to train young operatives because our Democratic Party chair, Michael Madigan, was doing nothing to train young
Michael
operatives.
And
yeah.
Isn't he still around?
And he's still the party chair and still not training young operatives. But I had to laugh all through the campaign when Rauner would try to link JB with Mike Madigan, because I would be like, yeah, pretty sure the reason why we started out working together was to do something absolutely against Mike Madigan, in the sense that Mike Madigan wasn't doing his job. He wasn't doing what party chairs do. But that is all to say that what I also saw in JB's campaign was, you know, close to a couple hundred kids. I don't know how many exactly, but I saw so many young people that were employed by the campaign around the state to build Democratic activism and to build Democratic organizations all over the state of Illinois where they had never existed before.
And that sustainability. I have to say we're going back, but I think full disclosure, I'm incredibly impressed, and I was impressed with his running mate, but he wasn't my candidate.
Right.
I was friends with Rod Joy, who was with Chris Kennedy. I had met Chris's mom, and you know, I thought, I'm going to follow up with these folks who I feel that I know. But I had a girlfriend who said, JB used to make sure that teachers could go for professional development and that they had a substitute teacher, like all of these quiet things.
He
that were
has
not
been
flashy.
He's been feeding little kids for breakfast for years. He's just been working. He's been doing it. And this is a little bit Illinois centric, but I think the lessons that we learned from this campaign can be put out across the country. When Chris Kennedy came to Illinois about 25 years ago, maybe 30, he could have easily, and Chris Kennedy is part of the Kennedy clan, he's one of Bobby and Ethel Kennedy's children. He has lived in Illinois for many years and decided to run for office this time. If he had, when he came to Illinois, gone to any of the county events, like something for DuPage County, or something down in Ogle County, or out in Rock Island, or Peoria, if he had gone once a month or once every other month and visited with those Democratic county groups when he first got here, because face it, he's a Kennedy. He probably knew at some point he was going to want to run for something. And even if he didn't, isn't it in his interest, like all of us, to strengthen the Democratic Party, to talk about and be able to fight for the ideas that he believes in? If he had done that quietly, just gotten to know people, put together a network, he could have won hands down. But he chose not to. JB, on the other hand, has done all of this quiet work in education for children, for the tech world. You know, he started 1871. Rather than talking about how Chicago should be a tech center, he made it a tech center.
Well, he got his just rewards. I saw our crabby producer, because he's sometimes cranky. Hi, Mr. Cranky.
Thank you to our cranky producer extraordinaire, David Resnick.
He's like, don't look at me. And who are you again?
I'm Kitty Kurth, and this is my friend Sylvia Ewing. Mm-hmm. And the show is called Girl Pundits.
Well, I think as we start to come into the home stretch, three things that are on my mind. One, be careful. These are challenging times because we focused on race and a few other things that we've noticed, but it almost feels like someone could write a book that the president is the mole that was brought here, you know, from Russia when he was whatever. Well, the thing about this,
I have to confess. I have to confess, I have read everything about Trump and Russia, beginning with the dossier, because I'm a history major and I believe in reading first sources. So I read it. And everything in it was exactly what the State Department has told me whenever I go on a visit to another country as an official representative. They give me information and say, like, don't do this. Watch out for this. This could happen. The more you look at Trump and Russia, there's another great podcast that I shouldn't tell you about, but I will. It's called Trump Inc., and it examines all of Trump's business activities. The more you look at Trump's relationship with Russia, the more that they have owned him for years. It's not that Trump invests in Russia.
I think the New Yorker did a great job of documenting that. My second thing, so I'm going to do my three things and I'll be quiet. My second thing is that Chicago is amazing. We can never really give up. I think that when we have ups and downs and we hear from people from other countries and nationally, people may listen to this and go, oh my gosh, how can you walk down the street in Chicago? But the spirit of people here is incredible. And at some point, talking about the challenges we've had, like lead in the water, which leads to violence and other issues. And I guess the third thing is, I love what you're saying about giving women voice. Everybody needs a voice. Everybody needs that authentic first-person story. So, you know, that's my little two
anything,
cents for now.
Anything that I've learned in communications, that is the thing. People just want to be heard and want to be listened
in
to.
In life. Children, everybody.
Which is why we women get so mad when men try to mansplain us stuff, especially stuff that we already know about. But on the Trump thing, this is kind of a humorous side. So I was reading everything about Trump and Russia, but then at night I was also listening to fictional podcasts of Russian crime novels and thrillers. And then I was so confused when I woke up in the morning because I couldn't tell what was real and what wasn't real.
And what's up with Melania? Is she like a stealth person?
Is she good? Is she bad? Does she love him? Does she put up with him? Is she trying to make things better from the inside? But really, speaking of Melania, when Trump the other day got the Baltics and the Balkans confused, like, okay, it's confusing. I get for Americans, we don't know our Europe that well. But when your wife is from the Balkans and from one of the countries of former Yugoslavia, you should know what the other countries of former Yugoslavia are.
Yeah.
And that neither Lithuania, Latvia, or Estonia were ever part of Yugoslavia.
Well, but Kitty, you're such an international woman of intrigue. I mean, you travel and do United Nations type of stuff. I go to Jersey, you know, in the Channel Islands to, like, hang out with my friends.
Well, I go because I can listen. I go because I think Chicago can learn from us. They can learn from Chicago. You know, thank God there are no borders on good ideas, and there's no wall to shut off good ideas. So we can go places and see something that works. Like in Rotterdam, they're a city very like Chicago. They're known for their architecture. They've got a Muslim mayor who has implemented all this amazing green technology and sustainable trade. The unions are happy with him. The environmental people are happy with him. It's a city on the water like we are. We could learn so much from Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should invite the mayor over to talk. He was here for another event.
Sister City Project does
Sister Cities, yes. But the mayor was actually here for another project. And I don't know, I could be defaming Rahm and not meaning to, but I don't think he ever like actually met with the other mayor.
Well, I know we've had a wide-ranging conversation, but I want to share something that I heard today. I heard the Cook County president, Tony Preckwinkle, give one of the most erudite and thoughtful overviews of her plans. Now, it was a five-year plan or something like that in her current role.
Yeah.
We also know that she wants to take on a different role. But to have someone talk about equity and excellence and what we can do with county resources was amazing. And she said, and I thought this was telling, that she does want to run for mayor, and she wants to do things that if it makes her a one-term mayor, it doesn't matter because she wants to do the right thing.
She wants to do to create change.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, and again, I don't want to dwell too much on Chicago, but I think we are a microcosm of some of that excitement about the election and some of that backlash
like
to Trump.
Lori Lightfoot running.
There are 17 people running in this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of women. There's young people. There's black
Somebody's
people, white people.
Right now that we did. Yeah. Did anybody new join the race?
Yeah. Did anybody in the last 5 minutes, did anybody jump in? But what's great about that is that's the Trump backlash. The Trump backlash was all of these women running. Emily's List 2 years ago had about 900 people, and I'm not going to get the numbers just right, but I'll put a link to Emily's List on the site, and you guys can look it up. But they had about 900 women running. This election cycle, there were more than 32,000 women that approached them for help in running for office. That's extraordinary.
Well, it is, but I have one challenge, and you're the queen of data, so you might know this. So it's yet again the year of the women or the woman, but what about the numbers of white women who still went for Trump versus, I mean,
oh, you had to bring up.
We raised it up again.
Black women saved us once again. Thank you, Sylvia. White women in Georgia, 25% of them voted for Stacey Abrams. That means 75% of them voted against Stacey Abrams. What are they thinking?
Yeah.
She's brilliant. She's been a leader. She's got experience. I just don't understand how they could do that, but they did.
And she was so, she had such decorum. Because
she has experience.
Right, because we always have to do the work. So our generation will stand and have the decorum, never lose it. She stayed on message. She stayed on point. Young folks are tired of it. And there is a generation that says black people of color are tired of splaining to everybody else. And it is true that we need allies. Everybody has to make change with the situation that we're in.
I completely agree, and I have often said, sometimes out loud and sometimes in public, you know, I'm 58 years old, if I had been born a black man, I would have killed somebody by now. I just wouldn't have been able to take it.
Well, no, your parents would have had that comp. They would have had the talk with you.
But I have a temper, man.
Yeah.
And when I earlier in my career, I interviewed some of the Tuskegee Airmen, mm-hmm. and I got to talk to them about the experience that they had in World War II, and you know, they were so proud of what they did. And I remember my father, also a World War II veteran, talking about how they were so amazing and that the Tuskegee Airmen were the heroes of World War II. But when I talked to these guys about what happened when they came back, and I talked to the guys who had gone from Chicago and come back to Chicago, and you know, they'd gone from flying planes and being the scouts so that everybody else could go out. And when they came back to Chicago, the closest one of them could get to an airplane was being a janitor at a small airport. And I just wouldn't have been able to take it if I was him.
Well,
I just wouldn't have been able to take it.
You know, we can learn from history. There are countless PBS specials on all of the crazy and horrific disrespect that was given to men returning. But here in Chicago at the Jackson Park Yacht Club, there is a Tuskegee Airman, 98, I think
yep.
he is.
The yep.
late Stan Lee, you know,
yep.
was kicking it. And
until just earlier this week.
That's right. And Jack, our friend, has a bench. He's still a sailor. So, you know, this is what I love about you. There's so many far-ranging interests that you have and experiences, and I wish you absolutely the best in sharing them in your podcast.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for being here today, Sylvia Ewing, communicator extraordinaire. I want to give a couple other shout-outs. I'd like to thank my former Kurth Lampe Worldwide intern, Max Temkin, and the Cards Against Humanity crew for letting us use their podcast studio. Special thanks go out to Alex Cox and Eric Garneau for trying to teach an old dog new tricks and helping me figure out the podcast world. Producer extraordinaire David Resnick.
He's a cranky guy.
He is, but we love him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the 2018 Kurth Lampe Summer Intern Power Girls, Ellie Cole, Michaela Duval, Marlena Resnick, Madeline Valente, and a special shout out to Mr. Kitty Kurth, the long-suffering Kevin Lampe.
I introduced you guys, I'm just saying. Chicago Tonight.
We yeah. met because of Sylvia.
Whoa, and you're still together.
And still together. Oh, it's only been 21 years. It just feels like more. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And join us next week with Girls Pundits.
Cheers.